In a quiet suburb where perfectly manicured lawns hide perfectly crafted lies, a community is shattered when two families are devastated by inexplicable disappearances. First, new mother Shelby Tebow vanishes during an evening jog, leaving behind her infant daughter Grace. Just 10 days later, Meredith Dickey and her 6-year-old daughter Delilah disappear without warning, abandoning Meredith's husband Josh and young son Leo. The timing couldn't be worse. Unprecedented storms have turned streets into rivers, complicating search efforts and stretching emergency services thin. When Shelby's body is discovered in a debris-filled drainage area, fear grips the neighborhood. What began as missing persons cases transforms into something far more sinister, leaving an indelible mark on a once idyllic community where neighbors now view each other with lingering suspicion. What truly happens when someone vanishes without a trace? And what if the person who returns isn't who they claim to be? 11 years after the disappearances, a teenage girl appears, claiming to be Delilah Dickey. Josh and Leo welcome her, but notice oddities. She sleeps on the basement floor, speaks deferentially, and calls Josh sir and Leo mister. She describes being held by Eddie and Martha Cutter alongside another child named Gus. Leo grows suspicious when she can't recall family details. His classmate Piper shows him childhood photos, revealing a crucial discrepancy. The real Delilah had a genetic cleft chin, which this girl lacks. Could she be an imposter? Meanwhile, the real Delilah remains imprisoned in a dark underground room with Gus. They endure concrete floors, a filthy toilet, no proper bathing facilities, and food in dog bowls. Their captors are cruel, especially the woman who verbally degrades Delilah. Despite these horrors, Delilah secretly sharpens a spoon against the toilet tank lid, planning her escape. How will these parallel narratives intersect, and what truth awaits in the darkness? Months before vanishing, Meredith Dickey's life was crumbling. As a doula and midwife, she witnessed a traumatic birth that set off a chain reaction. During Shelby Tebow's difficult labor, the arrogant Dr. Feingold dismissed Meredith's C-section recommendation, instead using forceps incorrectly and causing brain damage to the baby. When the Tebows sued, with Meredith agreeing to testify, Dr. Feingold threatened her, "If you do this, I'll ruin you," leaving her uncertain whether he meant her career or something worse. Meanwhile, Meredith received escalating anonymous texts from "I hope you die" to the chilling "get home safe after late shifts." These came from neighbor Cassandra, who had discovered Meredith's college relationship with her husband, Marty. Trapped between Dr. Feingold's threats, Cassandra's hostility, and the upcoming testimony's pressure, Meredith kept these troubles from Josh, not wanting to worry him or fuel his desire for her to quit her beloved profession. On a warm spring night, Bia celebrates her 30th birthday at an upscale Riverside restaurant with Meredith, Josh, and Kate. Josh leaves early when their daughter has a nightmare, while Meredith stays for one more drink with Bia. The night spirals into excessive drinking. Despite her intoxication, Bia insists on driving them home. In the darkness and rain, they hit Shelby Tebow. Finding her body, Bia claims she's already dead and convinces Meredith they should hide her rather than call for help. Meredith hears what sounds like a moan from the trunk, but Bia dismisses it. They drive into the woods where they dig a shallow grave using their hands, ice scrapers, and tree limbs. Bia strips Shelby naked to make it appear like a sexual crime, hoping to divert police attention. The next morning, Josh assumes Meredith is just hungover while she hides the evidence. By evening, Shelby's disappearance is on the news. Meredith remains silent, trapped in a lie that grows harder to confess each day. Haven't we all made decisions in an instant that we spend years trying to unmake? Weeks after Shelby's death, Meredith's guilt becomes unbearable. When she discovers Bia framed Jason Tebow with Shelby's bloody clothes, she insists on calling the police, refusing to let Grace lose both parents. In the Dickey's garage, Bia pleads against this decision. When Meredith stands firm, Bia blocks her exit. During their struggle, Meredith accidentally shoves Bea into exposed wall nails. As Meredith tries to escape, Bea grabs Josh's hammer. When feverish Delilah appears in the doorway, Bea strikes Meredith from behind before she can warn her daughter. Meredith awakens in her car's backseat with Bea driving. At knife point, she's forced to rent a motel room with cash, Bea promising to bring Delilah if she cooperates. Inside the squalid room, Bea makes Meredith write, "Delilah is safe, she is fine," on torn paper, then reveals, "This needs to look like a suicide." Bea slices Meredith's wrists and stabs her stomach. As Meredith bleeds out, Bea covers her ears, friendship transformed into something monstrous. 11 years after the disappearances, Leo confronts the girl claiming to be Delilah about her missing cleft chin. A DNA test confirms she isn't Delilah. The girl, Carly Bird, tells Josh tearfully, "You are my daddy," suggesting she genuinely believed she was Delilah, likely manipulated by her captors. When police bring Carly to collect her belongings, she escapes through a window. The search leads to Kate and Bea's home. Bea disappears after offering to get her music studio key, and Kate receives a text, "Forgive me, I didn't mean for any of it to happen." When police break into the studio attic, they discover the real Delilah Dickey, now 17 and resembling Meredith. Josh and Leo collapse in tears at this reunion. Then comes Delilah's devastating revelation. "I was there when she killed Mommy." The truth? Bea kept Delilah prisoner in her soundproofed studio attic for 11 years. Despite having books, toys, and clothes, Delilah lived on an air mattress with a portable commode, with Kate unknowingly just feet away from her niece all those years. In the aftermath, final pieces fall into place. Carly Bird is found near an abandoned dam, her copycat captors arrested. Bea pleads guilty after being caught seeking a fake ID. Jason Tebow is freed after 11 years of wrongful imprisonment. The psychological wounds run deep. Delilah adapts to family life, occasionally showing a strange affinity toward Bea, her captor, but also lifelong caretaker. Leo struggles with realizing the girl he resented was another victim. Josh balances joy over recovering his daughter with grief over losing his wife. Kate grapples with her partner's betrayal. When Bea calls from prison, claiming she never meant harm, Kate responds, "But you did. You hurt everyone," before ending contact. Yet healing begins. Josh and Kate occasionally share beers, watching Leo and Delilah together. Their once grieving home now rings with laughter. For Kate, healing comes more slowly, but hope persists. In this neighborhood where manicured lawns once hid lies, truth has emerged. The missing are found, the guilty punished, and survivors have begun their journey toward wholeness, proving that even after betrayal, human capacity for trust and love remains resilient.